This will be the last section. Before we study number 7, is there any question? Anything for discussion? Let's go into number 7, service and spiritual cultivation. What the service or service to God means in the 2 Corinthians chapter 5, let's turn to the 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 20. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. Now then, we are ambassador for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf. Now, be reconciled to God. So serving God means we are serving like an ambassador of Christ. Which means serving God, we are very, very nobles. Outwardly speaking, when we start to serve God, nothing has changed, right? Our outer appearance, no change. Our job has no change. Our family has no change. Nothing changed. But when we start to serve God, spiritually speaking, God assigned us, appointed us as an ambassador for Christ. We know what is ambassador. Ambassador is the messenger sent by a country to represent the country, sent to the other country. They call ambassador. Just like UK in the time of 19th century, UK have a lot of colony in Europe, even in the Asia, in everywhere, right? So in the 19th century, if a person served the ambassador of UK, that was the greatest glory almost in the world, because UK was a strong country. However, when we start to preach the gospel, we are the ambassador of God, the Almighty God. You know, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, it talks about what is human being. We human being are nothing but a dust. Can you see the dust here? Anybody can see it? We cannot see it. But is there dust here? Yes. And how come there is dust, but we cannot see it? Because it's too small, too tiny. We cannot see it. So, in the eyes of God, we are so insignificant. And also, in the eyes of other people, we are nothing. So, sometimes we travel, we go through the airport, there are so many people, hundreds, thousands of people. We start to think about, who am I, right? There are so many people, if I die, nothing changes in the world. But when you come to the spiritual perspective, we preach the gospel, we are the ambassador of God. The status is very noble. And what is the evidence God sent us as an ambassador? What is the evidence? Right? Before Jesus' ascension, Jesus gave a breath to the disciple, right? And Jesus said what? Can you find out where the Bible say? No, not Acts chapter 1. Yeah, John 20:22. Anybody read it?
Even when he has said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit."
And then 23.
If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained.
Okay. Jesus Christ gave a breath to them and said, "You receive Holy Spirit." This is a promise Jesus given to his disciple. You will receive the Holy Spirit. And this promise really fulfilled in the time of Pentecost. And what is the importance of receiving Holy Spirit? Verse 23. If you forgive anybody's sin, the sin will be forgiven. If you retain anybody's sin, the sin will be retained. And that is authority. So the evidence that God sent us as an ambassador is the Holy Spirit. And through the Holy Spirit, God gives us authority. So we can represent God. If we have no Holy Spirit, we have no authority, how can we represent God? Because God is almighty. Let us look into the time when God wanted to send Moses to see the king of Pharaoh. What did God give Moses? And that, can you find it? What did God give Moses? The book of Acts chapter 3, verse 4, chapter 4, verse 1. Anybody read it?
Now as they spoke to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them.
And verse, Exodus chapter 4. What?
But then Moses answered and said, "Suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say, 'The Lord has not appeared to you.'"
Okay, Moses answered, "What if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, 'The Lord does not appear to you?'" The Pharaoh don't want to listen to me. Why? Because I'm nothing, right? So you must give me something so when I stand before Pharaoh, the Pharaoh will listen. You give me something, it's a proof you send me to see Pharaoh, right? And then verse 2, what did God say? "What is that in your hand?" "A staff," he replied. Verse 3, the Lord said, "Threw it on the ground." So Moses have a staff, and God says, "Threw on the ground, it becomes snake." Right? And later on, the magician from Pharaoh also threw the staff on the ground, also become a snake. So the magician have certain kind of power, authority too. But the snake from Moses swallow the snake from the magician. Which means God's power is more powerful than the power from Satan. So Moses hold on this staff to represent the authority God gave to him and went to see Pharaoh. And this staff is the evidence God sent him to become God's messenger, become God's ambassador. And through the power of God, right? And God sent down the 10th disaster. Even Pharaoh was a king. He was unable to stand before the power of God. So eventually, he gave up. He gave up. And let Israel go. Because Moses had that staff, the power of God. Right, the same with when they are fighting with Amalekite, right, on the hill of Rephidim. The Amalekite were very powerful. What did Moses do? Moses hold on the staff. That staff was a promise of God. God promised him to give him power. Hold on that kind of promise. The Bible says, whenever Moses upheld his hand, what happened? Joshua win. Whenever Moses feels so tired and lay down the hand, whatever, the Amalekite win over them. So the power of God through the Holy Spirit is the evidence God sent us to become the ambassador. Oh. So when we look into the ministry of Jesus Christ, in the beginning of his ministry, people was very shocked, astonished about what? If you look into Mark chapter 1, when Jesus started his ministry, a lot of people was amazed by what? Authority, yeah. Mark chapter 1, the 21, he went to Capernaum. In the Sabbath day, he went to the synagogue, 22. And a lot of people was astonished his teaching, because he teach them like authority. And that authority come from where? Abidance of God. And that authority is the evidence that God sent him as an ambassador. Oh. So not only he preached with authority, in verse 25 to 26 and 27. He has authority to command the Satan, and the Satan what came out of the person possessed by the demon. So everybody asks, what is the new teaching? He has authority to command the Satan, and the Satan just obey him. And then Jesus said the authority. He holds the hand of Peter's mother-in-law, and who suffered from the fever, and then the fever was gone in that right moment. So we are the ambassador of God. How come we are so sure? Because God gave me Holy Spirit. If I keep on praying after I feel by the Holy Spirit, I will have the full abidance of God. I am going to have the power of God, and that is the evidence God sent me as an ambassador. And what is the function of ambassador? We are begging other people to reconcile with God. So the ambassador to represent God and preaching the good news and advising people to reconcile themselves with God. And that is the mission of being an ambassador. So God sent us for a mission, bring people back to God. Then how can the people rebuild their relationship with God? If we look into the Acts chapter 2, right? First, they pray according to the promise of God to receive Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit descends on them mightily, they are filled by the Holy Spirit. And then the whole church was filled by the power of God, right? And then Peter stood up, give it one sermon. What happened? 3,000 people, just like a knife cut into their heart. Right? And they asked Peter, what should I do? And Peter said, you have to repent. Repent means what? We have sinned. Repent means we have to change, get rid of sin. Repent means we have to determine to live a new life. You know, nowadays, Christianity, the message of sin is more difficult to preach, right? you preach, you have sinned. Next evening, probably half of the church got gone. Nobody want to listen, I have sinned. Everybody want to pretend I'm a good man. I have nothing wrong. Oh, so it's so difficult to let people confess their sin. But the sword of God, the words of God, is the sword of Holy Spirit. When a person been filled by the Holy Spirit, the person can represent God. And the words of God spoken by the person, just like a knife, cut into people's heart. When the people been moved to a point, the people will confess the sin. So 3,000 people confess the sin. Why? Because Peter served as an ambassador of God and tried to preach the message for the reconciliation with God himself. And his message come with the power of God, the evidence God sent him. And that's the reason people believe and repent. So, even though we are nothing, do you know, when we have the evidence of God's abundance, the fullness of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, we can do a good job for the Lord. Right? So this is 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We are the ambassador of God. And what is the evidence of an ambassador? It is the power of God through the Holy Spirit. And what is the purpose of an ambassador? The purpose of ambassador is to make people represent God, to make people reconcile with God. And what should be the life of an ambassador? If we read chapter 6 of 2 Corinthians, right? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16 and 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16 and 17. So from now on, we regard no one from the world, a worldly point of view. Though we once regard Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. Anyone in Christ, he is a new creation. Right? So we are the ambassador of God. We have to live like an ambassador. Live a life like an ambassador. Right? We have to behave like a life of ambassador. And how to do it? Anyone who is in Christ, he is a new creation. So we have to continue to abide in Christ and let Christ abide in us. And through this kind of spiritual cultivation, our life can gradually can be renewed, like Jesus Christ. So it takes time. So sometimes when people look at our life, if we really have a transformed life, our life will speak louder than our word. There was a member, he testified why he come to TJC. Originally, he was a Buddhist. But in his company, there was a TJC member. And when he looked at his co-worker, he found out this TJC member was very different from others. The character different, the way he interact with people different, the value system is different. He's just so very curious, how come this one is so different from other people. Then one day, our brother tried to invite him to attend the evangelical service. And this brother originally is a Buddhist. Out of curiosity, he wanted to come to our church to take a look. Why our brother is so different? He wants to know the religion he believes. So this Zhu Shiko come and listened the gospel and was touched by the gospel and eventually received the Holy Spirit. And later on, he was baptized. The whole family were baptized. The whole family, okay, I think, including his parents and his sisters and his sister's children, his own children, more than 10 people baptized. Why? Because our brother really lived a life, have shown the glory of God. So as an ambassador, if we live a life cannot match our status, when we preach the gospel, nobody will come. You talk about gospel is so good, but the one way he look at us, he don't feel that we are as good as the gospel we preach, they will not come. But if we are a very good person, really attract them, when we preach, they will listen, because we are different. To serve God, even preaching the gospel, to live a life renewed like the Jesus Christ, is a very, very important. We are the ambassador of Christ. So what does that mean? In Christ, everything is new. All thing is gone. What does it mean in Christ? Can anybody give an explanation? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 17. Anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. So what does it mean in Christ? According to 1 John, 1 John, in Christ has three meanings. First John talk about we abide in God and God abide in us. Right? Just like Jesus Christ, right? Say God is in me, I am in God, and I and God are one. And First John talk about when the words of God come to us, God abide in us. Because in the beginning there was a word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Right? John chapter 1. So the words of God abiding in us means God is abiding us. When we start to practice the words of God, we abide in God. This is the first one. So in Christ means that the words of God fill upon our heart. Let us practice the words of God. That means Christ in us, we are in Christ. This is the first meaning. In order that God abide in us, the words of God abide in us, we have to live a life of Bible reading. Read the Bible and meditate the words of God every day. One day I visited a church, one of the brothers, 93 years old. He showed me a 13 Bible reading card. Because start from the year of 2000, his church started to promote the Bible reading. And the church distributed the member a Bible reading card. Every day you read three chapters, you mark three, make a three mark in that Bible reading card. And at the end of the year, you can go through the whole Bible once. So start from he was in the age of 80. Every day he read the Bible for three chapters. For some busy day, he cannot read. And the second day he make it up. I read six chapters. So past 13 years, he read the Bible for 13 times. I was very touched by this elderly brother, 93 years old, every day read the Bible, three chapters. So in order that we can abide in God and God abide in us, we have to live a life of Bible reading. All right, right. That the word God abide in us through His words. And then, in every situation, when we try to think about how to resolve the situation, that is think about the words of God. Every problem, there is the answer from the Bible. We find out the answer, and we practice the answer, and then we abide in God. So this is the first one. Means what means in Christ, we become a new creation. The second one is Holy Spirit. When we receive the Holy Spirit, means God abide in us. In the First Peter chapter 3. Because Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. Holy Spirit is God Himself. When we receive the Holy Spirit, God abides in us. Right? And how can we abide in God? When we live a life according to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Right? We keep on praying, there will be a movement of the Holy Spirit. Every day we ask God to guide us. We follow the movement of the Holy Spirit, then we abide in God. Right? And the third one is love, the love of God, right? When we be moved by the love of God, right? We count the blessing of God every day. We really have a heart of thanksgiving. Then God abides in us because God is love. And when we try to love our brothers, we try to love God in return, we abide in God. So in Christ, we will be renewed like a new person. Three ways. By His words, by His Spirit, and by His love. So old things are gone. The new thing has come. Right? The older lifestyle, older concept, older relationship will be gone. Why? Because we have been renewed in Jesus Christ. So that we are able to live a life to match our status as an ambassador of God. So this is a so-called a servitude and spiritual cultivation. Okay. So, when in the day of apostolic time, they want to choose seven people in charge of taking care of the food, what are the conditions they set up? Good reputation and full Holy Spirit and what? Two, one more. Good reputation, Holy Spirit. Three conditions, spiritual condition. Wisdom, full of spiritual wisdom. Yeah. So good reputation is the number one. And good reputation comes from where? Good life, good conduct, good behavior, right? So the seven person chosen to represent God, to take care of the food, the boarding, lodging, their life has to be shown the glory of God, good reputation, so they can represent Jesus Christ. So in the church, we choose the people is so different from the people in the world. The people in the world, they only emphasize your capability. You can have the job done very effectively. Then we don't care about your private life. Right? But in the church, it's different. Even you are very capable, but if our private life has problem, we still cannot serve. Right? When we have a very good life, represent the character of Jesus, then we were able to serve as a servant of Jesus Christ. So transformation of the life is very, very essential. This is a requirement of ambassador. Now the last one. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 4. Chapter 10, verse 4. The weapon we fight with are not the weapon of the world. On the contrary, we have divine power to demolish the stronghold. Verse 5. We demolish argument and every pretension that set itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Verse 6. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience. Once your obedience is complete. So here Paul mentioned about the weapon we fight are not the weapon of the world. Since he talk about weapon, talk about fight, there must be an enemy, right? How can you fight without enemy? So here talk about the spiritual battle. And the weapon we fight means we are the soldier. So to serve means what? We are fighting a spiritual warfare, like a soldier. Serve God is serve like a soldier. And what is the nature of the warfare? What is the nature of warfare? You look into verse 3. Chapter 10, verse 3. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as of the world does. Right. So, what's the nature of the warfare? This is a spiritual warfare. Now, since the warfare, and what is the enemy? What is the enemy? We serve God, we fight a spiritual warfare. And what is the enemy? What is the enemy? We fight a spiritual warfare. What is the enemy? Devil. Satan. So our primary enemy is Satan. And this warfare is very difficult to fight. Why? First one, because Satan is invisible. Satan can see us, we cannot see Satan. Can you fight that kind of fight? You cannot see enemy, the enemy can see you. It's very difficult to fight, right? It's the first characteristic of this fighting. The second is, Satan is more powerful than we do. Right? Satan is more powerful. We human being, we cannot, when a person been possessed by Satan, we cannot subdue the person, you know. It's very powerful. Powerful not only in a physical sense. Satan is some kind of spiritual power, control people's mind. Yeah. So when Satan into the heart of Judas, what happened? The Judas totally be controlled. Satan is very powerful and he is invisible. And we as a Christian soldier, how can we fight this fight? Right. How can we fight this fight? Fight the invisible Satan and fight the more powerful Satan than we do. What can we fight? How can we fight? And we can win over Satan. What can we do? This is a spiritual warfare. Right? Since the spiritual warfare, first, we need to have a spiritual eyesight. Satan is invisible because physical eye, we cannot see it. But Satan is visible if we have spiritual eyesight. Spiritual eyesight means what? Spiritual wisdom. No. If we have spiritual wisdom, we will be very easy to detect or to see the scheme of Satan, the work of Satan. Then how can we have spiritual eyesight, spiritual wisdom? Right? How? We have to go through what? The mindset of Jesus Christ. If we have the mindset of Jesus Christ, we were able to see the scheme of Satan. Let's see the one verse we already read. The First Corinthians talk about the mindset of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. For who has known the mind of Christ, thus we may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And before the 16, let's see verse 14. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolish for him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Verse 15. The spiritual man makes judgment about all things, but he himself not subject to many men's judgment. The spiritual man judge all things, and that judgment is the spiritual vision. Oh. Right? We see so we can judge. Right? You drive a car, and all of a sudden you see it. A person just in front of the road. You make a judgment, I have to stop. I have to turn right, because physically we see. Now, spiritually, if we were able to make a right judgment, oh, you look at this and you know Satan is working. That means spiritually you see it. Oh. And how can I make a right judgment? The mind of Jesus Christ. Oh. So if the mind of Jesus Christ is inside us, we have a capability to make a spiritual judgment. And then we were able to know Satan's skin very clearly. Oh. So spiritual cultivation means we gradually take away our human mind, worldly mindset, and gradually put into the mindset of Jesus Christ. Oh. So once we put the mindset into Jesus Christ, it's very easy for us to discern and to judge the work of Satan. So this is called spiritual cultivation. Put on the mindset of Jesus Christ. Now, how to put on the mindset of Jesus Christ? How? Still the two things. The first is the teaching of the Bible. Right? The teaching of the Bible is a mirror. It's a mirror. Alright? It's a mirror to reflect the spiritual world. It's a mirror to reflect ourselves. Oh, right? So when we use the teaching of the Bible to compare everything, if it's different from the teaching of the Bible, then it is a sign. Satan is working. Oh. So here, you know all the teaching of the Bible, you compare it. If we do it differently, it's very possible it's the work of Satan. Oh, it's different from the teaching of the Bible. It's the work of Satan. This is a mirror. Oh. So without the teaching of the Bible, we are blind. Because you cannot discern what is right, what is wrong, what is God's will. Spiritually, we are blind. Oh, So the mindset of Jesus Christ comes from the teaching of the Bible. How do you know Jesus like this or Jesus don't like that? Go through the Bible and you can find what will please God, what will please different, not please God. How do we know where Satan is going to work? And you read the Bible, you know how Satan is going to work. Right. What is a sign Satan is working? You can know from the Bible. So when we equip ourselves with the knowledge, we have spiritual insight. When we have spiritual insight, we were able to see the work of Satan from the spiritual eyesight. This is the first one. The second one is through the Holy Spirit, the movement of the Holy Spirit. When we are filled by the Holy Spirit, naturally we have the spiritual discernment, spiritual judgment. You can see the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 11. Verse 1 to 2. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1 to 2. A shoot will come up from the stem of Jesse. From his root, a branch will bear fruit. And verse 2. The spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the spirit of the wisdom of the understanding, the spirit of counsel and the power, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. This is the spirit of wisdom and understanding. There's a brother, there's our church brother. His brother was an elder of Presbyterian Church. And one day he talked about his brother's church. And his brother's church, his brother told him, his church don't encourage the member to pray for Holy Spirit. And his church will not discourage the member from praying for Holy Spirit. Neither encourage or discourage. It's very, very strange, right? If Holy Spirit speaking in tongue is good, why not you encourage? If Holy Spirit is no good, it's evil spirit, why not you forbid the church member to pray for Holy Spirit? The reason is, when they read the Bible, they know there's a Holy Spirit. They know speaking in tongue is the evidence. And how come the church cannot encourage them? Because the church cannot discern whether this spirit or evil spirit. So the Pentecostal movement, even among the Christianity, a lot of people know there's a Holy Spirit. But the Pentecostal movement, a lot of people have some reservation. Why? Because when they fall down on the ground, they receive spirit, they fall down on the ground. They don't have the ability to do the spiritual discernment. But in the TJC, even from the first day, we receive the true Holy Spirit. So spiritual discernment, it becomes a gift of TJC. Because Holy Spirit gives wisdom. So how can we see the invisible Satan and his work? Through the teaching of the Bible. Through the work of Holy Spirit. And how can we defeat that? The same thing. Through the words of God. And through the power of the Holy Spirit. So we still have 2 minutes. Any questions? We still have 11 minutes. I think I was wrong. Yeah. I cannot understand your question very clearly. Sorry. Oh, you mean the book of Isaiah? Number 8? Yeah, other point. Hey. my co-worker about what?
Is this a learning process to achieve this
certainty?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yes. After we know the teaching of the Bible more about the nature of servitude and requirement of the servitude, and we use that kind of knowledge, gradually adjust ourselves, and we'll become better and better. And not within one day we can become perfect. But when we have the knowledge, we have the understanding, and we serve as a mirror to compare ourselves, and we pray, we make determination to improve ourselves, then we will gradually become better. Yes, it's a learning process. Yes. Or how long? Oh, okay. Oh, there's another point, it's a very important point. Even the soldier, if you want to think about even further, never can a soldier fight alone. Right? Two are better than one. If we look into the book of Ecclesiastes, two are better than one. Can you find it where it says two are better than one? Huh? 4, verse 9. Verse 9, two are better than one. Nah, anybody read that out? Yes, two are better than one. Yeah. Yeah, we can add one more point. So Jesus Christ sent out the disciple two by two. So if a person alone, walking alone for a long time, is very dangerous. Right now, almost all the walkers fail. If you analyze the pattern of their walk, most of the time walk alone. It's very dangerous, yeah. So as a Christian soldier, I never have a soldier fight alone, yes. Teamwork is very important, yeah. So we talk about, we should not walk alone. At several occasions we talk about a farmer, one plant, one other water, work as a team, different gift. And master builder, right? One day foundation, another one build a building on top of the foundation. The different kind of stage are different. And the soldier, two are better than one. There are many disadvantages to walk alone. Okay. Any other question? We have five more minutes. All the eight topics about servitude. Number eight, question one. What is the nature of the warfare? It's not worldly, it's spiritual warfare. So in the church, actually, nobody is our enemy. Our only enemy is Satan. If anybody behaves strangely and do against God's will, that's because of the work of Satan. So the person deserves our sympathy and intercession. Yeah, the true Satan enemy is only one person, the Satan. And what is the weapon of the warfare? The weapon is the power of God. So, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, the secret is to have the power of God. We come back to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 4. The weapon is to have power before the Lord. And what is the goal of the warfare? The goal of warfare is to defeat all the obstacles inside the heart and to bring people's heart back to God. Right? So when a person don't want to come to church, because the heart, God used the world to entice the person. So the person's heart already go into the world. So the Holy Spirit moved the person, so later on the person know loving the world is the enemy of God. So gradually the person stop loving the world and come back to loving the God, and that is the goal of the warfare, right? So if a person always want to number one, want to be top, right, want to be successful, then Satan can use that goal gradually to guide us away from God. But when we pray, the person continue to pray for the person, one day the person realize, oh, if I have no Jesus, then no God, all that kind of goal is empty. And wake up. And then the heart turn back to God. And that is the work of the Holy Spirit. So the goal is to bring the heart back to God. When the heart back to God, the time will back to God. When the heart back to God, right, physically will come back to church. But if the heart is not come back to God, even you carry them to the church, they still cannot come back in faith. And what is the boundary at our work? In the chapter 10, even the Christian soldiers, sometimes we are very victorious, we are very brave, but we have to understand God set up a boundary. Everyone, our work has a boundary, has a limit God set for us. So we should not go beyond the boundary. If we go beyond the boundary, a lot of time is the end of our servitude. So chapter 10, verse 14. For we are not overextending ourselves, as though our authority does extend to you. For it is was you that came with the gospel of Christ. Verse 15, we boasting of things beyond measure. So even Paul, he was very powerful. He know for a certain area he should not touch. God don't want to go beyond that line. Right? Look. When Satan, when the angel serving God, right, he want to become God himself, then already go beyond the line. Right? Do not keep his own position. We are human beings. When we serve God to a point, we want to enjoy glory like God, that we go beyond the boundary. So we have to know the boundary and observe whatever the limit God set for us. Okay, we have 1 more minute. Any question? Okay, let's pray inside. Amen. 6:40, we have prayer session.